Welcome into episode 117 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got What's a Crack, Retreat Retreat, the Swap section, Coming Up, Caithness section's back, Me, Shoppy section, Anna Drams with the Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt whisky. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so please get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, section. Well, a sandy hello to new to me, been with me a while now and been with me forever listeners. I appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. Random hellos are to Owl Print Pandas Amanda, Leslie from Boston, That Denise Girl, Hannah Ross, Mystique, and Bear Blue Skin, and my lovely lush wearing sock workshop friend Smokey Joe. And a last minute one is Louise Tilbrook.
What's a crack, section?
What's a crack? VAT mace. There's changes afoot to the way internet selling business are to invoice in the EU. This is to try to recoup all the tax that the big companies such as Amazon and iTunes didn't pay, and it's a mace. Hence the VAT mess. I think it's actually called VAT moss, which I don't actually know what it stands for, but the hashtag was VAT mess. Basically, if you're selling electronic things, such as patterns, you have to invoice and get ridiculous information back from your customers, which is something that really the only bigger companies can handle. And this really affects the low VAT level of payers, which is our government has not considered until very recently. His older take has been blogging and tweeting about it, and it could have a seriously bad impact on EU designers. Thankfully, there's a company called Love Knitting that has stepped forward and offered to be a third party, and they've got accountants on board to sort it out, all the VAT, and you become a vendor for EU designers through them. If you're in any way affected, i.e. you are VAT registered in the EU or have to pay VAT on your business and sell things that are electronic, then please get this sorted out before the turn of the year. Please don't put your head in the sand, because there's some good accountants out there willing to help. First Stop is Isolde's blog, and she can explain it way better than myself. For those of us looking into it who would affect for buying, as we don't want not to have wonderful new designers coming through, please be aware of the situation. Support your local designers through this, and don't worry if it looks, say, a bit different when you go to buy your patterns. Did you know that Nick from Yarns from the Plane podcast has a new logo too? And she has her Etsy shop in full swing. So please go to www.shop/yarnsfromtheplane. I'll put the link in the show notes. And she has some really lovely colours of wool in there. She's lovely. And I could listen to her podcast every day. I got a pattern update this week. Remember when I mentioned Spinny Gonzalez Castle Fraser ebook? Well, the third design in the collection inspired by Castle Fraser itself has just been released. She said, I hope you enjoy the little mystery behind it. Fully stranded and lined, these cosy mittens are sure to keep your hands warm this winter. Happy knitting, Aurora Lale. Which I still can't see. Sorry, Petal. Please note that you can enter your finished project in the Indie Design Gift Along prize thread, should you wish to, and also in the never-ending quarterly finish along in the Old Owled Woolly Alliance group. Again, no obligation, of course. Well, I wish her well with that. Please look at her Castle Fraser designs. I also got a magazine called Quilt Now, which is very good, this issue. It's all based around what to do with your scraps of material, and it's got some really lovely techniques and projects in it. There's an update on the Outlanderish Clan Kit with Mel. Now, it is the 4th of December today, and if you have not yet bought your amazing kit from With Mel video and audio cast... Oh, and it's still before the 5th of December, or on the 5th of December. Rush now, as there are very few left. I am awaiting finding out how much tartan to order, so get in, go on, if you get a project bag along from me, along with. yarn from Infinite Twist and Space Cadet custom dyed, based on the weathered ancient Fraser tartan. Male can't speak highly enough of both of these companies. And the yarn bases are fingering weight and DK wools. There's one pattern for each, as well as a unique chunky camel blend. Three knitting patterns for accessories inspired by the mystery and adventure. A set of wooden double pointed needles and notions to keep you along. Don't normally get them in kits, do you? Artwork that inspired the designing of the knitting patterns and yarns. I definitely don't get that. And special treats from Inverness that captures the past and present of this amazing place. Haha, I know what that is. Other delights to enchant and to use. And it is going to arrive as one parcel filled with individually packaged kits. There'll be one shipment, which it saves on shipping costs, allowing you to get more for your pound or euro or buck or sterling. Less money on shipping means much more in the package for you. More flexibility for you as well. You can control your knitting place. Open each label surprise as suggested or when you want, which may be all at once. And like we said last week, yes, I would do them all at once. For more information, visit the With Mail blog. Click on an Outlandish Clan tab. So please go do look at it and bye and share too, please. But very quickly, because the closing date is the 5th of December. So go look if you are in any way Outlander. And Swedish Karen yesterday was showing Sarah and I the video of loads of clips. I don't need to actually see the series now because I've seen most of it on a clip on YouTube. But I can see what you're all talking about. But to me, Jamie Fraser is always going to be Shellsuit Bob's pal from River City. However, to you, that's fine. Like I say, I've got my own kilted Scotsman. I keep forgetting to say this to you. But Selfish Louise would like to listen to a Welsh or an Irish or both podcaster, please. Unless there are some out there, and please someone can point me in their direction. I really feel that there's a big gaping space in hearing your accents and your news. And if there's not, then Welsh and Irish listeners, why don't you think about starting one? Also, it's nice to see Caithness Craft Collective Ravelry Group thread What's a Crack being used. If you have any news at all, want to blather on about it and want a friendly group in there, do go post it. Helen's got a couple of things and there was a nice pattern in there a little while ago too. So please do go use that. And I'd like to say that, I'm not really a podcaster that goes out and asks for vendors to give away their goods for free. But if you would like to give your goods away for free, then please don't be scared to approach me. I very much like to talk about it and I don't really like to ask, so go for it. There are plenty of other podcasters that do ask and they're very well, so good listeners and good consumers don't miss out on all the giveaways, but I've never gone forward and asked. Retreat! I know, I said I would never do this, but I am having a crafting retreat the last long weekend of May 2015 at John O'Groats Natural Retreats, and it's Thursday the 28th through to Sunday the 31st of May. I put up the link last week because I didn't actually take any photographs of being inside the lovely self-catering cottages. And I've done a bit of number crunching and I'm going with a tentative price of £125 each. And this is for bed, breakfast and munchies through the day based on you having one room out of the three in the chalet. And it's from Thursday afternoon 2pm through to Sunday morning checkout time. I appreciate you hanging in there with me not having prices, and it's still a kind of tentative price because when I get the full 12 people, I'll go book and work it out a bit more, possibly take it down, but it certainly won't go up unless we have a tutor who comes forward and wishes to run a workshop. Anyone? It might seem like a long way away, but I would then want a deposit of £50 by January 30th and then the remaining monies 4 weeks before the retreat. And then if you would be unable to attend for whatever reason, you get your remaining back. And if I can fill the place, and you get your deposit back on top of that. It's going to be for 12 people, and so far I have 9. Each chalet has 3 rooms in it, and they are double beds. So unless you want to come with someone you're really close to, you can have your own room. The chalet is fully self-catered, and it's got a really beautiful kitchen and seating area. And they have big TV and PlayStation, pack of cards, Monopoly boards in each, and if there's 12 of us, we'd have 4 chalets. And also, we would be using the Inn part of the retreat area as well. And it is the old hotel, the big white building. And they have got a sort of big fancy sitting room area that we can have. And we can have a lovely time there. And I apologise because I thought that the Saturday afternoon was the Cansby show, but it's been moved back to the end of June instead of having it the last weekend of May for some reason. However, I won't be having. But there's plenty of other things to do in Caithness. And I'm not just limiting this to knitters, so if you fancy a crafty podcast, please come along. Although there's, I'm going to say no to sewing machines and massive great big spinning wheels, but you can certainly take your travelling wheel. I don't see there being much bother with that. So please put your name on the Ravelry board if you are genuinely interested. Only if you're genuinely interested. And if you have, and you have until Christmas to do that. So get it for Christmas, crafty types. And men and women are welcome too. It's a really lovely place to go if you're wanting to get away from it all. There's walks along the shore to the Shell Beach. And then we can go and see the rock carving that some random tourist did. And it's got something written in Chilean. It's a bit bizarre because it's below the tide line. But it's scripted and it's beautiful. Also, you're more than welcome to go to Wick, to the Old Poulton Distillery. Or to the Heritage Centre or the Castle of May. You could go for a wildlife cruise in the afternoon and see the birdies and possibly whales or dolphins. I'd also like to invite Caithness crafty types along to sell any of their wares, and Mother and I will have some tartan bags there for sale too. So we can do lots of sitting and looking out the great big windows that they have facing the Pentland Firth, watching the ships going by. And if you feel really energised by the end of it, there is actually a fun run 10k at Berrydale. Well, there's a 5 and a 10k that day for you to do on the way home.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up, the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is on the 14th and 15th of March at the Edinburgh Corn Exchange. I'm going to be there on the Saturday the 14th and kicking about the podcaster lounge, and we're going to have a quiet spot we could use to interview if we like. So I'm putting it out there. Any of you want to be interviewed for anything in particular, then get in touch. And I imagine that we'll have a podcaster meetup at lunchtime in between classes. So far we have Shiny Bees, the Geeky Girls, Knit British, and of course me, but there may be more by then. And obviously after that, coming up in the end of May is the retreat at Natural Retreats, Jonna Groats.
The swap section.
Swap. The Christmas tree decoration swap. Or winter swap if you don't celebrate Christmas but wanted to join in anyway. Now, the majority of these have been posted. Pretty much sure, actually, all of them have been. If they haven't, please get in touch and I'll put my police outfit on again. I got a wonderful package from GMB3TCD, who totally amazed me. Totally. She sent me some sweeties for the bairns, firstly, which were lovely, thank you. And we used them when we went to the swimming gala. It was a wee knitted and embroidered onto red cardinal birdie for the Christmas tree. And I've seen this as a pattern on Instagram, and there's a few people who have done blue ones and red ones and different coloured ones. It seems to be quite a fast and easy pattern to do. If I can find out who did it, I'll put it in the show notes. I sound like the Knitmore Girls. And also there is a wee square made from ticking fabric, and it's stuffed, and it's one side has an embroidered tree and on the other has a stamp tree, and it's really nicely stitched together, and she sent me some more ticking fabric to make another one. I love ticking fabric. I don't know why, but I just do. If anybody doesn't know what it is, think of the back of a wooden chair or the underneath where the upholstery is hidden, and it's the blue and white or red and white striped fabric, and it's almost canvassy. I don't know why, it just appeals to me. Also in this package there was peaches and cream cotton and hobby craft cotton, and which is brilliant because I need new dishcloths myself, and a bag of Christmas things to make garlands with Santas and red cardinals and embroidery floss and quilted pot holder, 3 bags in various styles, all beautifully wrapped. So thank you, lovely Therese, who has a lovely pair of hands on her. I took in a couple of the bags and textile artists, and they were impressed. And I tell you what, it takes quite a bit for them to be impressed. So they were holding it. I'm going, the spotty zip? I've never seen a spotty zip before. Is this an American thing? I was quite impressed. We all thought that was amazing. So really, really nice and very, very thankful for it. It made me really quite sad to rest the swap when I got such an amazing package, because Greedy Louise is going to want another one of them. But I really don't like being the swap police. And nobody said anything one way or the other, so I hope I haven't upset any of you. And I know I actually have lost a couple of listeners down the line from being the police to them, so I don't want to do that. And there are plenty of other swaps you can get your swap fix. Maybe we could just do one next year at Christmas. I think that's what we'll do. Oh, Biffle's come back in. Oh, hope he doesn't pick on Quattro, because otherwise it's going to be this noise. Yeah.
Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. As it stands today, we have 3 weeks exactly until the big day. So, how's your planning going? Have you started your cards yet? Bought or pondered over any presents? My Christmas cards are all made and nearly posted. I'll have to ply Richard with some alcohol tomorrow night to get them to write them with me. Did you rush out and buy the soap making kit? This episode... Can you hear the noise of the dog? He's going mad. He wants to play. This episode is all about wreath or garland making. We can do this in a few ways, and I'm going to go with the ease of having the base already made. So order a couple of polystyrene circles. They're quite inexpensive, and I got mine from Hobbycraft, but for us that don't live near it, I have found some of a ridiculous price of 79 pence, and that's from www.craftmill.co.uk. Then get yourself some roving that you're never going to spin. It doesn't even have to be Christmas colours, but maybe getting some kind of toning things such as, well, maybe orange and purple might be a bit different. But if you're different, go for it. If this roving is in a strip, then hurry, fluff it out a bit, and then you can do this a couple of ways. Glue it in at the start, or needle felt it in, or a mixture of both. You can buy needle felted needles for 79 pence also. I needle felted mine to the back of it at the start and the polystyrene wreath, and then I kept wrapping it round and round the ring until I got back to the start, kind of like the way you would do a pom-pom. Just wanted to say pom-pom. Then you can do loads of things. You can stick Santas onto it, you can do pom-poms. Didn't realise I got pom-poms there. All over it, and you can just tie ribbons on to the top or leave it as it is. Or make wee bows or ribbons or shells or, well, the world's your Christmas oyster. A couple of years ago I had some cookie cutters in Christmas shapes, and I got one in the shape of holly. And I needle felted in some holly into the cookie cutter, and it keeps it in the right shape. And then I did that in green and got some red and made the berries into little bollies. And then I needle felted both of them together and then onto the wreath. I actually do need to do a bit of maintenance to mine, but with careful putting away, it survived 4 years of being in my house. This year I need to buy a wreath hanger. Well, actually, every year I've needed to buy a wreath hanger, but this year I'm definitely going to do mine. Whilst mine will never be outside in the cold and wind and rain, and it will sit very nicely in the inside of my front lobby. Of course, you can do this with so many crafts, floral art, holly using oasis to hold it down, or coat hangers twisted together, or that bonny pom-pom one on a polystyrene wreath that I've seen on Pinterest. It just fair brightens up the door, and I cursed myself for not hanging mine on the door when there was full of snow a few years ago and getting a photograph. Not a curse that I want more snow, but I'd have made a great card picture. Next episode, we're going to talk about last minute Christmas crafting. I haven't thought about what we're going to do yet, so we'll have to do a bit of Pinteresting.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. Can you hear the people sing, singing the songs of Lush Cardigan? Yep, it's singing. And whilst I've written down as Kevin Big Elvis sings Christmas legs, that was a bit of layman's for you to take you through the day. Are your ears bleeding? Now, I've been knitting on my Lush cardigan and I'm nearly at the bottom rib. I hope to be finished the rib for you by the next episode. Now, newer listeners, this is the Lush cardigan by Tin Can Knits. and I was part of, when I hosted this, a knit-along with a couple of other podcasters, one of which is Shiny Bees, and she said she's going to go weekly podcaster. Go, 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 Mrs. Jo! And this knit-along was wonderful, but I didn't actually finish mine. So I put it away for a while. Then other things came in, and I'm back to it now. It's a great pattern. You have a lace pattern around the yoke. What you do first is a rectangle. And then you go and you pick up along the neckline and you go up first and do the neck. And then you go back down and do the body. The size of the patterns are from birth right up until adults 60 inch chest and all sizes in between. I really loved it since I saw the very lovely Smokey Joe sport it at the Glasgow School of Yarn a few years back now. Then of course Scully wore it at Dornoch. Do you know she's got her own pattern now? Karina Westerman made Louise her own jumper. How cool was that? It's really nice actually. So if you see that in the magazine, do go buy it and then go annoy Louise. Catherine asked me what I was finishing before the new year when I was at textiles, and whilst it would be lovely to have this on my back, I don't actually see it being off the needles, not with 3 weeks, but I am really enjoying working on it again. And this was my 3/4 of the way through lull. I have this a fair bit. The yarn I'm using is a great big huge ball from Liddell's, and it's acrylic. I'm ducking now because I know all you pure wool people are throwing things at me. One good thing is about that there's loads on this ball and it's one continuous ball, so I don't have to join in anywhere. And I don't mind working on it. I'm not sure how well it'll wash and wear, but well, I'll find out when I get there. The next thing I'm going to do is make the owl's jumper again. But this time I'm actually really going to make it. I know, how many times have I cast that poor jumper on? I can see myself in it. And the belly's getting slightly thinner with all the running. Plus, I'm going to make some socks for Sandy and Daisy with the yarn that Travers' mum gave me, because she is lovely. And Sandy, do you know what? He never takes off them socks. As soon as they're washed, he puts them on. The ones I made with the Felici that Knit Picks have put out for a limited time. Oh, I had to walk away from that one. Right, anyway, I actually did... What did I do? Oh, dishcloths. I've crocheted a few dishcloths. One's in peaches and cream cotton I bought at Walmart when I was in America. That's the running joke now when I was at textiles. I kept saying, oh, when I was in America, they did this. Or when I was in America, they did that. And I heard myself and I went, do you know, I've been saying that now for a while. I'm going to have to stop that. And they went, yeah, when I was in America. So if I ever have a reference to my holiday, I always say, I started with, when I was in America. Because it was so good. And I've got so many stories and I'm afraid you're still going to have to hear them. But I really liked working on this dishcloth because I noticed that a lot of mine are starting to get tatty, and dishcloths do get tatty. And I do like using them. I still think it's bizarre knitting something and then using it to scrub out your dirty dishes, but I kind of got over that sometimes. I have to stop myself from freaking out. Now, I used a size 5mm crochet hook and I did a line of 30, and then I alternated triple and double stitch, and I went, it went really quickly, and then I was done, and then decided to do the ball band pattern of a granny square. So I've written imperfect. It's not perfect because I know that there's mistakes, and I ran out at the end halfway along a line, but it's for me, so... They're reasonably sized cloths from one ball, no time at all to make them. However, I then straight away went and used said dishcloths and the dye ran. So now I have purple ones instead of red, white and blue. Big sigh. However, I've now cast on with the Hobby Lobby cotton, so I'm going to see how that gets on. I'm not into doing citric acid dye baths before you suggest them from the lovely Knitmore ladies or listeners. Not in dishcloths for me anyway. It's a good tip if anyone has any problems with dye leaking out their yarns, and let's face it, we have all had some. So go to the Knitmore Girls blog and read how to do a citric dye. I don't know if it's citric acid. You do this thing and it stops the dye running out of your yarn. I was listening, it just obviously now I've come to recall the information. It's over there and I'm over here. Look, geese. I was making tartan bags again, but this time for Mel. I'm awaiting the deadline of Friday, which is tomorrow, before I order the rest of the tartan so I don't order too much. I also meant to say that this weathered ancient freezer tartan is not the same as the ancient freezer that I've been making for the shop, and I'm not going to be selling on any of the weathered ancient tartan in my shop, certainly for quite some time, because it's exclusive to Mel's Club. It's really nice, actually. I have to say I do like it, but I want you to buy it through her and then get the whole kit, as opposed to buying it through me. So I haven't put any more in, and I do have a fair bit of this tartan that I need to sell on to make its money worth that I bought it for. But I will. Now, I mentioned this in the drams, but I've also got a rundown here. I had the most wonderful day at Caithness Quilters Christmas in November last Saturday. We made a gingerbread man from brown felt. It was good fun. Actually, if you go to the Caithness Quilters website, it's just basically type in Caithness Quilters and you'll find it from Google. And you can see the pictures of the day and lots of wifey sitting in a hall. And you can spot me and a couple of them. And look, I'm concentrating. I'm doing something. Mum's laughing in one of them, and there's one of Dorothy absolutely killing herself laughing. Really lovely photographs. So the gingerbread man, and I called mine Ginge. I had him sitting on my shoulder, like the wee gingerbread man from Shrek 2, when he sits on his big gingerbread man's shoulders. Not many of them got that reference, to be honest, but I know a lot of you are Shrek fans. The Christmas challenge this year was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and I put some photos onto Flickr to show the contestants. There was a size limit, so it seems like there's not as many entries this year, but because they were smaller than the usual quilts that we get. Now, a tea cosy one this year, which was unusual, and oh, it was beautiful. It was made from folding fabrics into a dark blue sky with the Star of Bethlehem on one side and the King on the other. And it had wow factor. When I came in, I went, oh, wow. And also a winner was an embroidered verse of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and it had beads and sequins on a very dark blue material, and it was stunning near and from a distance. Also was a small panel with stars in red and gold, and the points were all pointy, and the binding was even, and it was stunning close up and from a distance, both of which you want when you're looking at a panel of a quilt. There was also a really tall snowman that had about 20 buttons up his front, and I thought, oh bless you, you've sewn on all them buttons! Not the jelly buttons! And there was a lovely blue sparkly placemat, a Santa panel, a lovely panel of a grandchild's pictures on with stars on the side of it, and then there was a set of pointy stars which were hanging from a ribbon hanger. And then there was a panel of a starry night with it had a bit of space or hand-dyed material for the top of the night sky. And it had beads on sewn in the stars. Also, there was a panel in white with a big star in the middle and very beautifully machine quilted. It was really difficult judging this year's contest because we all do it. We get 3 slips of paper each and we go in as tables and put our numbers in, and then somebody goes and they're counted and verified by an independent adjudicator. Well, not really, but sounds more like the lottery, doesn't it? And they got prizes, so it was really nice. I didn't do anything. I'm not very good at doing that stuff. Then we played cheese charades, alphabet with your feet, spell your name with your bum, and so on. And do you know what? The jokes and the crackers were excellent this year. Well, I did, with Marina up the end in the naughty corner. I laughed and we laughed. And she photobombed Shirley and I's selfie, which was good fun. We had our secret Santa of sewing item worth £7. There's people again. It's bombing it. I got 2 great big bits of Christmas fabric and a red spool of thread. And then we had a quilting crossword and a word search. I'm not really good at crosswords, but I like the word searches, so we rattled through them. Actually, crosswords. Richard came home with a crossword. And he likes to do it every day. And I can tell how busy he's been during the days to... I just had to stop that and show you the dogs. Right, Richard, he likes to do the crossword at work. And he can tell how busy he's been by how much he's done it. And then one day he was really busy and didn't manage to do any of it. And he says, oh, you can have a shot. So, done the crossword. So he gets the pencil and starts filling it in. And he's, oh, you're doing really well. And I went, yeah. And then he looks closer down to Lord of the Rings characters and knitting things. It's amazing how much you can sort of cram in when you want to. It was good fun. I'm not saying Richard has got OCD or anything, but he took the typical step. Well, okay. So that day was excellent. We had great fun. And I do mention it in the drams. And I have to tell you about the Sports Direct spotting going on around with us just now. Sports Direct is a retail outlet that sells sports gear. Our closest Sports Direct, which shall now be called SD, is at Inverness. However, a few years ago when me, Richard and Burns were down south, I was looking for a running jacket with a zip pocket at the chest for my MP3 player along with pockets at the waist. And by the time we were on holiday, we ended up going to quite a few shops and three SDs along the way. And the last two, Richard put up pictures on the Facebook lamenting the fact that they were all the same and some of the staff were, well, not very happy at their jobs. Then it happened that every time we went south, we went into one. My husband being a sporty type and in constant need of new sporting goods. Of course, you can get them in other shops and online, but we like to try things on and they've got good prices. So you can worth putting it up with how unhappy their staff can be. And it's a source of amusement to me now. Then a couple of people commented, oh, where are you now? And we started playing Guess the SD Location. And it's become a thing to do while Caithness people are down south. Because we're such hicks. Go photograph an SD. And then there's a whole pile of Caithness, the North Highland Harriers running group were running near Inverness last Saturday. And they landed en masse in Inverness SD late on Saturday and they went mad. They ended up getting a picture taken with the entire staff of the shop. They bought loads of stuff and took loads of photographs and selfies and stuff and telling them about our game. And Inverness, along with Paisley and Brayhead, went for the most helpful and happy staff. Honestly, they couldn't have done more for us in Brayhead recently. I'd put a post of the photo of the Perth SD, which has recently moved. And this is what I wrote. But terms and conditions of SD spotting include safe driving at all times, only passengers to take photos, no stealing what little left of the SD soul staff when taking photographs. No clue shall be given in the first photo if it's a guess which delightful SD this is to which location it is at. Extra points shall be earned for inside photos. Points include at the end of the year can be total and exchanged for a number of SD prizes. These prizes include the big shopping bag with SD on it, the big mug that has SD on it, and finally a pack of white sports socks from the front of the shop. Small print. These prizes have to be supplied by the prize winner but can be worn or used as badges of honour and bragging rights. This game was open to all of Richard's friend list, but less points are given to those that live beside an SD, except in cases where another friend is visiting. Then double points are awarded to both parties. Pictures must be taken by you or persons with you. You must not take photos from Google Earth or other websites or from friends. 50 points for drive-past shop photos, 100 points for SD lorries drive-past photos, 150 points for standing outside SD shop photos, 200 points for inside photos, 250 points for photos with SD staff, only those with lots of soul, 1,000 points for falling into the sock display but only with photographic evidence. Points will also be earned for other imaginative photos. No staff or customers or animals must be harmed in this making of this photo. Points can be deducted as well as given. Your mug may be at risk if you do not keep up with payments or prove to be fraudulent. 0% finance for the first year and 1,000,000% interest thereafter. Game on. You may play too, if you wish, on your own Facebook pages. It might mean a bit less to you if you are near the Sports Direct and it's just another shop to you, but to us it's the Mecca. So that's what nonsense we were up to. Now, I was at the last textile artist on Tuesday and the Christmas cards are now finished. We had all agreed to give one to Ella, which we did, and then we all put one in for a lucky dip and picked one out from each other. I got Valerie's and it's got a beautiful wee angel on the front and the angel can go on my tree when it's put up. Catherine has a few finished pieces, one of which, you like this, it's a tweed tote bag and she's made the front to look like a kilt. Really, it's a tote bag made in tweed and then it has a large front pocket which has the right hand side as the frayed edge of the way quilts have. Then she had a great big button at the top to strengthen and hold the top pocket, and a kilt pin at the bottom to make it look like a kilt. Then on the inside of the lining, this was genius, is an old blouse that she had, and she had lots of thought, she said. She turned it sideways, and she had the buttons seamed horizontal to the top, which gave it a pocket on the inside, and she said, well, this is where you can put your knitting with you in a safe place so the rest of your shopping or your things don't get mixed up in it. And I've got a photo of this. It's amazing. Amazing. They all turned to me and said, this would look great in tartan. Oh, how it would. So watch this space for next year. Then Ella, who's been to Australia to visit her son for ages, gave us some threads and silk bits and pieces, and perfect for embellishing. I'm really glad I gave her the cowl now because she's so generous. Then we had shortbread and some flour scones with Orkney cheese Dorothy got and made. Anne gave us all wee glass ornaments that she had made. And I've got a beautiful glass sparkly Christmas tree, and it's hanging with my other two ornaments waiting for the tree, which isn't going up until another couple of weekends, I think, because I don't want to have a Charlie Brown tree again this year like last year. Okay. Long-time listeners may remember the Instagram photograph of the Charlie Brown tree on Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas Day we took it down and we had the Burns and Richard standing on the stand that we had the Christmas tree and they had decorations on their head. It's so funny. You had to be there. We got these glass ornaments. Valerie had gotten holly and she decided that it went so perfectly with the cowl I gave her, she's getting it made into a brooch. Joan and Anne were winding wool because they didn't feel like sewing, which was cool. Sometimes the chat is what the time is for. It's a place to get ideas, share ideas and talk. Oh, I'm excellent at that, aren't I? I had the most perfect morning, and that's it done until after Christmas now. I was at the Thursday sewing day too, and I managed to get a whole pile of mails, tartan bags, almost finished to the point of I just need to get the ribbon and put it in. And I've got 14 done, and I'm waiting until tomorrow to get the final number for rest, order the rest of the tartan and the ribbon. But expect more tartan bags to be mentioned in the next couple of months. And what I'll maybe do is mention the odd thing I find interesting about the construction of them, as opposed to, I'm making more tartan bags. So,
the Caithness section.
Caithness segment. Scooby-Doo ourselves back in time. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We haven't done this in a long time. However, previously on Caithness Facebook, we were talking about Earls. No, not my name is Earl, but my name is Sinclair. Last time we had Rumbunctious George. George, the fourth Earl of Caithness, who was quite despicable and probably had all the minions. This episode, we're going to see his grandson, known as the Wicked Earl George. And that's not wicked awesome, Boston types, that's wicked in the dictionary definition of evil. This time was 1582, and this period of history was, to say the very least, turbulent in British history. George reigned to 1642, and it was the time of King James VI of Scotland and I of England after the death of Elizabeth I in 1603. This then united the crown of England and Scotland officially. Oh, you can imagine the manoeuvring of the rich and powerful trying to ally themselves into the right place. Well, actually, history buffs, you can, because you don't have to imagine them, they're all recorded facts. This goes way back into the Game of Thrones, the literal sense of the word. It was a game, a very treacherous game. Wicked George takes over from his grandfather after George's son John is held in his father's dungeon for years and then killed off by making him eat salt beef and giving him strong alcohol to quench his thirst. So once George, Rumbunctious George, had died, George, Wicked George, took over. And just to start the way he carried on, well, Wicked George, can't help still seeing it that way, Wicked, he goes out and he murders in broad daylight two of his late father's principal keepers. King James was obviously blind to all this or just didn't care, as he gives him most of the Earl's pardons, so really they could just be as despicable, and it's a despicable competition. or the Wicked Witch of the County, because there's a Wicked Sutherland Earl at the same time as the Wicked Caithness Earl. Oh, it's a shame Dorothy's house didn't land on him, because in 1588 he went on a rampage around Caithness and Wicked George was hiding at Gurnigal Castle, and Wicked Sutherland went and stole the cattle around Latherin, ravaged right up to the north coast, and then he burnt and pillaged Wick, and he opened the casket with the heart of the late rambunctious George, and the contents scattered to the wind because there was no treasure in it. All this time, Wicked George stayed in his castle, the big, fearedy cat. Then enter stage right, Arthur Smith, who was a bit of a forger, which was pretty serious offence in the day. Well, it's actually still a pretty serious offence now. Firstly, Arthur, who was from Banffshire originally, and he was caught, and he was handed over to the Crown by the Countess of Sutherland. The King took a fancy to his work, and he released him, and Wicked George wheedled him away up to Caithness, and he put him in a workshop in the newer part of the castle called Castle Sinclair, which is actually just an extra bit to Gurnigal Castle. I think he was just wanting the Sinclair name and the title of the castle, really. So Smith stayed there for about 8 years, and during this time Orkney, down through to Rosshire, was inundated with foreign coins. The King appointed Sir Robert Gordon, along with Donald Mackay, to go find Smith. They tracked him to Thurso, where he was being a blacksmith, the clue was in the name, and he was defended by John Sinclair of Stirkirk, James Sinclair of Durin, James Sinclair, brother of Dunn, and a few other relatives. So it was John, James, and other ones. When Mackay and Gordon took out the royal warrant, there was a great big fight. Stirkock, John Sinclair, was killed. Dunn was severely wounded and the rest ran away, and they left Smith, who was then killed, to prevent his further rescue or escape. Now, Wicked George was in the King's band books, so he had to plot how to get back into them. At this time, Patrick Stewart... Not that Patrick Stewart! This one was the Earl of Orkney, and he was the son of Robert, who was the illegitimate mother of Mary, of the Queen of Scots fame. Neither Robert or Patrick were very nice. Well, akin to Wicked George, there's quite a theme going on here. So Wicked George got together a crew of men, and they sailed over and recaptured Orkney, and Earl Patrick was taken to Edinburgh and hung on the Market Cross. King James gave Orkney to Lord Ochiltree. Wicked George was okay for a while with the king, but then he went one step too far and he killed off an illegitimate brother, and his lands were then put under the safekeeping of Lord Berrydale, who arranged an annuity for Wicked George to live on for a further 20 years until 1643. He was a bad egg. The one good thing I can see from this time was in 1589, Wick was awarded the title of the Royal Borough. And I had to look this bit up to explain exactly what one was, because I knew one of you would ask. Boroughs were essentially urban settlements which enjoyed trading privileges from medieval times until 1832, which regulated their own affairs to a greater or lesser extent, depending on the type of borough concerned. Until the abolition of Scottish boroughs in 1975, boroughs produced many types of record useful to the historian. Most royal boroughs were seaports, and each was either created by the crown or upgraded, as it were, from another status, such as borough or barony. An important document for each borough was its borough chapter, creating the borough or confining the rights of the borough as laid down, perhaps verbally, by a previous monarch. Each royal borough, with the exception of four ineffective boroughs, was represented in the Scottish Parliament and could appoint magistrates and wide powers in civil and criminal justice. And I always knew that Wick was a royal borough because there's a great big sign on the way in and out of Wick. And in 1989, we had the Quaker Centenary, and the mascot was Quaker Manny. So I've always remembered that, and we had an extra firework display that year. It was good crack. So there you go for this episode's lengthy history of Caithness segment. We haven't done it for a while, so I was just catching you up. Drams. On to the drams this episode. And after this, there is blah 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 and the shopping section. So if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode. If you're into the drinking, stay tuned. Some funny bits in this. This episode sees Richard and I drink an Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt whisky.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Hello.
Thank you for putting in "we are drumming" this episode, because last episode you put "I'm drumming" and I was thinking, well, am I not allowed one?
No. You need to earn it.
Uh-huh. So this episode we are drinking an Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey.
With the red squirrel.
Uh-huh. Well, it's on the top. Could you pass me the top, please?
I can.
And it's a dumpy kind of top.
Very dumpy. You don't know which is the front and which is the back. Yeah. But I like it.
Yeah, it looks quite serious to me. I know whiskey drinking is a quite serious affair to some people, but this one looks kind of grown up.
Mm-hmm. You're messing about
and serious. So it's kind of dumpy and round, so it's slightly more fatter in diameter than the average beer boo-boo.
And it's like a 50-gallon drum.
And it's got a black two-thirds the way up stripe round it with cream top.
Is that black? Has it got a green hue to it, do you think?
I'm saying that. I think
no, it's black. It's black. Yeah, black.
And the front panel, in cream outlined in gold, has the Heart of Dewar's Aberfeldy Single Highland Malt Scotch Whisky aged 12 years. And it's got a lovely drawing of a red squirrel, which is nice. And we've also got the dogs in the, not in the background, because they seem to be quite noisy. Oh, good, they sat down there. So, the Aberfeldy Distillery was established over 100 years ago in 1898 on the south bank of the River Tay. Aberfeldy combines the fresh spring water of the Patilly Burn with the skill of generations of craftsmen to produce an outstanding single malt renowned for its heather honey softness and full body. Not one comma in that. 40% volume, John Dewar and Sons Limited. And it's 70 centilitre bottle. It's got a lovely appointment of the Majesty the Queen Scotch Whisky Distillers. So they drink this where the Queen goes. And then the back, there's a panel and it's got a bit more information. It says, in Aberfeldy, on the edge of Highland Perthshire, lies a distillery steeped in tradition, yet known only to connoisseurs and a few fortunate travellers. Built in 1898, the Highland Single Malt Distillery was the finest creation of the entrepreneurial Dewar brothers. Reserved for years as the heart of Dewar's white label, limited quantities of Aberfeldy are now available as single malt. At 12 years old, Aberfeldy is noted for its heather honey noise. Noise. I just wonder what the noise was. Check me out! Let me out!
Drink me! Drink me!
You think it would sound like a Knack McFeagle?
Mm-hmm.
It's honey nose, full body and rounded taste. The finish is dry and elegant with pronounced spicy characteristics and a hint of Seville oranges. Aberfeldy - a work of man and nature.
And you haven't even touched a drop yet.
It says, where's the woman? Got the woman in there.
Enjoy responsibly.
But it is in tiny little writing. I can barely see that with my glasses on.
No, always enjoy responsibly.
Oh, well, I suppose. Now, on the top, they have a squirrel as their logo. So they must have some kind of red squirrel population around Aberfeldy.
I do believe they do.
Good. Because there's not that many of them left in Scotland. So they're protected and they're a bit of a rarity. Ooh, the bottle is quite nice. It'd be dumpy.
Very dumpy.
What would you describe that as, Richard?
Dumpy.
It kind of goes out at the top, or it looks like it does. It might not.
It flares out.
It looks like it flares out, but it might be an optical illusion.
You get a little ridge down here at the bottom as well.
And that's these Aberfeldy Distillery embossed in glass on its top bit.
What is a limited bottling?
Oh. Nice. Oh well, let's open it and drink it.
And we got this from Tesco's.
Yes.
£30.
£30?
I think it was £30 or £35.
Was it on special?
It was reduced there.
Right, cool.
I think from 40.
Thank you, Tesco's.
But I had a wee look on the internet, and is it actually found a really good site that details it and other whiskies called Difford's Guide.
Can you spell that?
WeeWillyWinky dot DIFFORDSGUIDE.com.
Wee willy winky, running through the town, upstairs and downstairs, isn't he?
No, it's great. It gives a lot of detail about it.
Good.
And I'm wanting to see if it lives up to the review.
Oh, is it a good review?
Yes, it says, for its price bracket, it says it's one of the best.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to it. Well, we have had it once before.
Yes.
In the airport.
In the airport when we were flying to France.
Yes.
From Glasgow Airport, and there was two, and we decided to go for the Arran, and then you went, oh,
I preferred them.
I like Albert Baldy better. In that, because that's exactly what you sound
does
like.
Does that sound like that?
Yeah, precisely.
We'll soon find out.
It's uncanny,
when
isn't
the
it?
Recording gets published, won't we?
Yeah. Okay, colour in bottle. Well, have you seen the new trailer?
I've already got two trailers.
For Star Wars.
I have seen something. I showed Sandy it last night.
Mm-hmm. Was Chewbacca in it?
No.
Well.
Chewbacca. It's Star Wars 7. Chewbacca's sitting in the rocking chair, feet up,
Han Solo's
comical in. Slippers on with a cigar.
Well, you know how we
and
have
a dram.
Maybe
sitting
slippers.
There having a dram going, it's very human coloured.
Do you reckon that he has human slippers, how we have furry slippers?
Yeah, novelty slippers.
Really, we human slippers.
Yeah, a pair of stormtrooper slippers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he'd be holding up his dram going, it's kind of human looking.
It is quite a dark colour. Now, would you like to do the open it and the cork?
I'll find the start. There you go. It's very traditional kind of thing about it, I think.
It is quite serious looking.
Yes. Well, we'll soon bring that down to our level, won't we?
Although, maybe all appearances could be deceiving on the fact that it's supposed to have a right character.
Can't get into the thing first.
And fiery. Goodness me, the dog's noisy tonight. Actually, it's a kind of buchel colour, isn't it?
It's a kind of buchel. Well, it depends which bit.
Well, he's got a black top and an orange underneath.
Oh, it's all come away. There you go.
I don't want that.
Yeah. Wait, it's a squirrel.
Oh, well, maybe I'll keep
little
that.
Little embossed squirrel. I can't speak now. I haven't even started having a drum. Are you ready?
Yep.
Silent. Oh.
Nice ending. See the cork from last episode? I'm using that now for the drums entry music.
Oh. Take a wee smell of that.
Richard's just lost in the smell of nice whiskey smell. Right, I'm going to go and find it. It's quite subtle.
Mmm. Well, I'm kind of getting cigars freshly out of the humidor, soft leather and lemon zest with dark bitter chocolate, hazelnut shells, faint smoke, dried fruit and possibly spearmint. Are you getting the same?
Well, what's humidor?
I haven't got a clue.
Richard just read that word for word off the internet.
And it's quite sweet I'm getting.
Well, if you put it into the glass, we might get a bit more chance of smelling my own, as opposed to yours. What size of dram is that? Oh, now, drink responsibly. In Scotland, I'm not sure about the rest of Britain, but certainly in Scotland, very soon, I think it's the 1st or the 5th of December 2014, they are drastically reducing the amount of alcohol that you can have for driving.
Yeah.
Which basically means you can't drink anything on a night out.
It's less than a pint,
less than a glass
of wine, less than a dram.
Less than everything.
Aye. So, you just don't drink and drive.
I wouldn't anyway.
No. But I think it'll catch a lot of folk out in the morning after.
I know.
Aye,
I know. So please be very responsible, people. It's all seriousness. Serious face.
I'm scared.
Right, okay, seriousness over. Back to normal, Louise.
It's this very serious drama that's bringing out the seriousness.
Oh.
We need some nonsense.
Some drink. Drink.
And we're not driving tomorrow, because what are we doing tomorrow?
Oh, we're cycling down to Wick to collect the car. So yeah, we are driving, but it'll be in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's subtle, there's hardly anything I can smell out of that. Can you smell any of that?
Yeah, I'm getting a kind of subtle a sweetness to it.
I'm going to see if I can smell smearmint. Spearmint.
get a drink in you so you can speak properly.
I've been speaking all day.
You want a wee drop of water?
Yes, please. Today I was at Caithness Quilters Christmas in November Day, and it's from 10 till 4. And That'll do, thank you. And we start off with a mincemeat pie and a cup of tea.
You've broken your duck.
I have.
First, I haven't had one yet.
Oh, and it was homemade pastry.
Well, much this up as you've got one. Did you have just one?
No, I had two. And then I kind of thought, oh, I strangled me. don't worry.
You didn't bring me any back. You know I have a soft spot for...
Oh, I don't think there was any left.
Mincemeat pies.
I know you do. I was actually surprised you didn't make some today. That's the sort of thing you do when I'm not there.
Thought never crossed my mind.
Well, and it was beautiful. I will ask her for the recipe, Shirley's recipe. It was stupendous. And it was funny because the last thing Shirley said was, I hope my mincemeat pies don't get burnt this year, because they did last year. So goes in, and I was aware that there was a sniff in the air, goes up, and Shirley says, they burnt my mincemeat pies. I went, you did? They did what? I says, Catherine, just kidding you on. She says, no, they turned on the oven and they didn't realise it was on grill. So they got slightly toasted. And they weren't burnt. They were just slightly overdone for being heated up. I says, I think Catherine just did that out of badness. So that was the first thing.
Slangeva,
everyone. Oh, that's smooth. Oh, yes.
It's a lovely smell too. It's very sweet. It's not got any distinct flavours that I can smell.
No, I didn't think there was...
Would you perhaps in the taste be getting a gentle, easy, almost silky with soft, nutty leather and dried fruit, sweet, honeyed maltiness, vanilla and bubblegum-like notes, balanced by faint peat, citrus and dry, spicy oak?
Yes, all of that. It definitely the silkiness. Because mine last episode with that Tom and Tool 10, and it was burny.
It was burny, but with water it wasn't burny.
No, it was
mine, because I put plenty of water.
Yeah, but it was still burny for me. Remember, I said my tongue was a bit numb by the end of it. This is silky smooth. This, there was no burnt at all.
And as an aftertaste, I was kind of getting a vanilla-y kind of taste there, actually.
I don't know. I couldn't taste whiskey.
So it's a nice, very pleasant.
Very nice. It's a slight peaty. It's just because I'm seeing what it says.
I would maybe say malty bread, citrus and whiffs of peaty smoke. But then I have to admit I'm reading that from someone else's review. I don't get any of these things. I'm getting
I'm
a very
sweety,
vanilla-y honey. I'm getting honey. Now I'm getting honey in it.
Are you? Good.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's much smooth. Much smooth. It's very smooth, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm getting...
Two years extra definitely, I think, makes a big difference.
Do you think?
I think
12 is a good compromise, because a lot of 17, 18s, 21s...
They can be harsh.
I prefer the 12.
I don't get to drink a lot of 17. You won't buy them,
really,
they're too expensive for
really
me.
I only had it when I was kind of working away.
Yeah, because you wouldn't spend the money on me on a whole bottle.
No.
Heard it here first, listeners. Anyway, so Caithness Quilters, I have been talking and talking and talking and laughing and talking and exercising my jaw muscles, talking and talking. So, yeah. And none of it with alcohol whatsoever, because I didn't have any gin to put in the lemon drizzle cake. Mary Berry's lemon drizzle cake is stupendous, by the way. And the last time I did it for when we went running... through the bogs of Caithness.
Through the bogs, through water-laden lochins, up above your belly button.
It was. And I made gin and tonic cake for afterwards. Well, there was no tonic in it, because I thought it would water it down too much. And it was really nice.
It was lovely.
Mm-hmm. So, the colour in the glass. We're going a bit skewy. Oh, I'd say what...
A little bit lighter now.
It's lighter now. It's gone... Almost Winnie the Pooh. Chewbacca's been washed.
I'd say Chewbacca's maybe been for a holiday down in the Canaries or something.
Yeah, I'd say so. Or in the Hoth. He's been on Hoth. No. He's been on Tatooine for a couple of years.
La, la, la.
The one that Luke Skywalker
vacant,
grows up.
Vacant look in my eyes are closing over.
Because I was thinking about the desert planet. Right. You geek listeners, you'll enjoy that. He's got no idea. So, taste, I've done taste, very nice, and all what Richard said.
Hold on, can't remember what I said, let me read it again.
Aberfeldy. Where is Aberfeldy, Richard, dear?
Aberfeldy is sort of in the northern end of, well, it's not quite that, it's heading towards the northern end of Perthshire. It says it's in the Highlands, but I suppose you could argue it's in the Southern Highlands. It's a very picturesque inland location, rolling hills, hobbit country, mm-hmm. as you would call it, with rolling hills and lots of forests, indigenous forests and sort of forestry commission plantation forests. Rivers run through it, Tay runs through it, big rivers, a lot of fishing goes on there. Industry-wise, it's sort of all the kind of agricultural, forestry type industries, a lot of tourism.
There's a wool shop around there too.
Aye. There used to be a music shop in Aberfeld. I know this because I had a friend from at university who came from Aberfeld, and in the early days we used to go through to Aberfeld on occasion and have the odd weekend out, which normally ended in interesting events.
This was Bee Ale.
Before Louise, yes. Quite protected, quite quaint in a lot of ways.
Because it's off the beaten track, it's a bit
it's
more...
It's slightly off. I mean, it's just off the A9. It's near Dunkeld and Burnham, where my brother lives.
Mm-hmm. And Ballinlough service station.
Yeah.
If you're ever on the A9, go to Ballinlough service station if you need a stop, because it's fantastic.
If you're ever on the A9, I feel for you, because mm-hmm. I hate that road.
Oh, it's horrendous.
I've not done that yet. It's worse now with the camera.
Download yourself an audiobook if you possibly can, and just plug in and tune off.
So Aberfeld, yeah, very precious. And I remember the distillery there, just outside the town.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it there.
Mm-hmm. Right, who are you having room for a dram tonight, Richard?
Well, I've been struggling to think, and just that little last conversation about you and your blah, 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 Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. I'm inventing my favourite Star Wars character round.
General Grievous.
He can hold 4 drams in one go. he could have a peaty one. He could have a smoky one.
Uh-huh.
He could have...
A Highland one. A Speyside one.
Yes, and a Speyside one. He could have sort of 4 distinct flavours all in one go. He could almost make his own blend in his mouth.
We wouldn't be able to say this is Chewbacca colour, though. He'd chop us up.
He wouldn't chop me up.
Mm-hmm. We might chop me up, because I'm definitely...
Me and General Grievous are like...
The Rebel Alliance.
That, we cross fingers.
Okay.
We're down. Who are you having?
Well, because tomorrow is the 30th of November.
Yeah, I know that, yes.
I'm going to have St. Andrew, patron saint of Scotland.
And Russia.
Well, yeah, but he's...
And about 6 or 7... Turkey or Greece or something it's called?
Other ones.
I'll find out.
Don't spoil rain on my parade.
Can I speak
again? Oh, and I think I'll have pantoffles as well, because we got in... The post today, she sent us a packet of hobnobs.
Oh, is that who sent them?
Yes.
Instantly my new best friend.
And there is a beautiful little angel that she's made, and it's sitting in, and also another tree decoration that she's put on the front of a card. And it's very kind of her, but the hobnobs is hilarious. So that's for Chip Hobnob here. Here you go. St. Andrew is the patron saint of Barbados, Romania, Russian, Scotland, Ukraine, Italy, bits, somewhere in Portugal.
Esquerra.
Yeah, somewhere in...
Luca.
Malta.
Panay...
Somewhere in the Philippines. And somewhere in Greece.
Paranaque in the Philippines.
And he was also the patron saint of Prussia and the Order of the Golden Fleece.
Yeah.
Cool.
I wonder if he knew... Jason.
Well, he could have been. It would have been after that, because he had to be a saint and believe in... Well, he was Andrew the Apostle, so he was about Jesus' time, so he was yon after the Greek gods. Mm. So...
Andrew the Apostle, Saint Richie of Whiskey.
Mm-hmm. And of course, because it's St. Andrew's, we'll have to drink whiskey...
Tomorrow.
Paint ourselves
but
blue.
But not very much, because we've got to drive in the morning.
No, we're not going to do that.
We could have haggis tomorrow.
We don't really do anything for St. Andrew's Day, do we? The Barons sometimes learn a bit more about
some
it.
People, but
we could just paint ourselves bold. And I know what we'll do. We'll cycle down to Wick to collect the Barons and enjoy being in Scotland and how pretty it is.
Yes. And you will hate me. You will hate Scotland. You will hate cycling.
How far is it?
Well, if we're going the route that I suggest we go, which is off the main road and not quite so hilly, which has got one main downhill and one main uphill via Slickley and then crossroads out to Lythe, Wester, and then through to Rees. I think it'll be about 22 miles. And I think you'll hate me by the time we get to the top of the hill before Slickley.
Oh, probably.
Near Gills.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a picnic.
Marcel's going to suggest what we'll do is we'll just take our time. I'll take a rucksack and we'll take plenty of food and a flask and we'll just stop halfway or stop a couple of times. Well, and have
basically,
a brew.
We should really start now.
No, it'll be fine. Well, I can do it in less than an hour. So, yeah, I beast
you
it.
Can.
No, but I beast it and I don't stop. So, it's you'll be fine. Excellent. Cross training. You've been doing fantastic training with your running of late. Listeners, she's fitter than a racing snake just now. Fitter than a butcher's dog. So, and you're obviously, I can see the benefits and the fitness coming through in you.
How do you mean?
Well, you're looking a lot fitter, you're more lively. You're a bit sharp, but I have to dodge and duck and run away a bit more as well.
Obviously, I don't hit or condone hitting your husband at all.
What? And the caveat being, unless it's really necessary.
No, there's no excuse for domestic violence, one way or the other.
So what's your excuse then?
It's banter. Obviously, I'm just testing out my cook soul moves.
Oh,
I know who we should have. Adam. And Kath from Cooksoul, because
yes,
Adam achieved
Adam
his...
Adam's got his third Dan in Cooksoul, and he's now known as Apu Savarin. And I was training with him last Wednesday, we were doing sparring, 12-minute rounds, my word, I was quite tired after that. And that was good. And Kath, who is already a Savarin fourth Dan, she's doing one of her many assessments, testings, to get to fifth Dan. But that wasn't the final grade.
No,
for
she's
her.
Hoping to get that back in May.
Aye. So, no, well done to them. Annie got fourth out of the UK for the Spartan.
Yep,
so that's good.
And they're awful nice people.
Oh, aye, fantastic.
Yeah. So,
apart from when Adam clipped me right in the jaw. Clicky jaw the next day.
You were trying to rugby tackle him in the puddle run on the bog run.
Well, yeah, he's bigger than me. Anyone that's bigger than me needs to be brought down to size.
So he's really nice, but only if you can get him.
If you can catch
tackled.
Him. For a big guy, and he is a big guy, he's pretty quick and sharp. So you have to sort of go a bit dirty.
Shocking. Shocking, listeners. So we've got Pantoffels, St Andrew, Adam and Kath.
And General Grievous.
I forgot about General Grievous. I think that'll be an interesting conversation.
I think I'd make him leave the lightsabers at the door, though.
I'd say so. And plus, we've got two quite... Well, you or your black belt. So we should be okay with Cook's Soul Defence.
Yeah. He only stars in the film for about 5 minutes, does he not?
No, he's in the second one. And then he gets topped off by Obi-Wan. But a big fight. Obi-Wan has to work hard. In the third... Oh, I'm sorry. I've just given spoilers if you've not seen it.
I don't think I've seen it.
Well, you know, you have, so we went to see it at the picture.
I don't remember it. I must have been asleep. I'm not a Star Wars fanatic.
Geek. No, you're not. Right, okay.
Is that us?
I'd say so.
Okay, thank you for
that. Sounds fine. And that's Difford's Guide, www.wheewillywinky.diffordsguide.com. I've got the link in the show notes. So, it was quite good. General Grievous.
Shoppy section.
We've got loads of stuff in the shop. In fact, buy more stuff because I don't want to have it all in the shop. Mum has made some bags and there's currently McLean tartan, and Gordon tartan, and Robertson tartan, Farquharson tartan, MacLeod tartan, and Ancient Macmillan tartan. And there's going to be another wee journal available today or tomorrow when I take a photograph of it. And I've actually got another top finished, but I need a new book and to glue it on. So if you feel that you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back, please, then go visit www.etsy.com/shop/KeithnessCraft.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, section. Thank you very much for listening and putting up with the dogs. Wow. And me, Spafford. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt and the Ravelry group is Keithnesscraft Collective. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook as Keithnesscraft, and you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. The music was from Avalon Rising with the Great Selkie, and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and do keep on crafting.